We're Elkhorn Computer, and we do commercial repair and setup. With Elkhorn Computer, your business will experience profitability through productivity. Give us a try. Visit ElkhornComputer.com, then give us a call. ElkhornComputer.com. Click the microphone icon for a free mouse pad.
Thor Tripp.
I like all those guys. I don't necessarily know if I love any of them.
Thor Tripp.
It's reminiscent of Bubba Watson.
Thor Tripp.
It's kind of a boring answer.
Yeah.
Thor Tripp.
But I'm certainly one of the bandwagon media members.
Cause the trip bring me late.
Bring him in, Thor Tripp, KTV Sports. What's up, Thor? How are you?
Oh, not too bad, my man. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. I mean, I think there are a handful of things that I thought we'd be talking about heading into this Michigan game, but there are some things that I did not anticipate. I mean, I thought we'd be looking at a Nebraska team that's 3-0, and I didn't anticipate, like, the buy-in talk that would come up. Like, help me out, Thor. Like, what do you make of, you know, you had Frost comments about, you know, if you're not on the bus, get off the bus or whatever. I don't know how exactly worded it. Yeah, Tanner Farmer talking about it. Like, what do you make of some of this buy-in talk?
Yeah, I mean, I think that some of that kind of comes with losing, you know, from the sounds of kind of what I've gathered from some of the players and talking to people, that it's kind of more of a thing where it's like, all right, you've got select guys who maybe aren't psyched about their current roles, just like you have on really any team that's losing. And so when you don't see success, or you see, like, you know, some missed plays and things like that, and you feel like you could do better, then some of those guys are going to kind of rear their heads a little bit. And you don't want those cliques of players who are going to kind of get together and, you know, misery loves company kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, kind of where you're looking right now with some of that stuff, where it's just, you know, factions of guys who maybe aren't playing and, you know, think they should be or deserve to be. And that's kind of where it comes from, I think. So I think that's, you know, you start to hear those things and whispers of those things, I think, when you're losing games. And they didn't obviously expect to be where they are right now. So I think that's just Scott Frost sending a message like, hey, you know, it's not necessarily the on-the-field stuff that's costing us. It's sometimes the little details off the field, getting to class, you know, being responsible, being organized, doing everything that you need to do to get things done the right way. And then when we get on the field, we get things done the right way, too. So you're not taking shortcuts. You're not, you know, trying to get around a block instead of going, you know, and taking somebody out. So I think there's just a lot of little habits and cultural things that they're trying to instill in every capacity of their lives that maybe aren't being fully lived up to on the athlete's end.
Are you with me in the sense that I've been pretty darn impressed with the defense? Like, they have really exceeded my expectations, and that side's been good enough to win both games to me.
Yeah, I think that they really have. I mean, and honestly, you think about, you know, some of the issues that they did have, you know, two rushing touchdowns right up the gut where Mo Berry would have been, you know, if he was still in that ball game. Not that it was, you know, Will Honus's error. The first rushing touchdown, he missed the tackle and he owned that. But the second one was kind of a formational and you know, with motion, it was a little confusing, and they kind of got threw Nebraska off a little bit. So I think, you know, it's just it's hard to point to the defense and say this is the reason that you're losing. I think in the last game, everybody would have said offensively, you know, you feel like you would have had enough to win, even if Andrew Bunch wouldn't have made a couple of mistakes he made. You know, even though you didn't have your starting quarterback, you still feel like you could have won that game offensively with what you had. So
yeah.
I think that's kind of where the frustration level is coming from, you know, from some of those factions of guys, too, where it's like, you know, we're doing enough, but we're still not getting the wins. Like, come on, let's go. Let's all pull our weight. And then you start to hear some of the chirping, you know, a little bit more. So I think Frost just kind of wanted to nip that in the bud. And you know, obviously there's a lot to love from what you've seen out of defense so far, but there's always going to be things that they can do a little bit better.
What has been, Thor Tripp, my guest, KTV Sports, what's been, and maybe the answer is the defense, what has been maybe furthest off your expectation level so far? Couldn't be a unit, a side of the ball, a player. Like, is there something that you felt like had a, and this could be good or bad, that you had a certain idea in your head and it's just been totally different than what you thought?
I would say the biggest thing that's been off for me is probably the wide receiver number.
I agree. Yeah. Right. It's been weird.
I just think that, when you think about the expectations for Stanley Morgan and J.D. Spielman coming in, you know, they've made plays and they've had catches. But I think when you look at the depth and the number of guys that you heard, you know, you heard talked about, and you see what Mike Williams can do athletically, you know, it's just, I think it's maybe not the dispersal of targets and gaudy numbers that maybe you expected to have from this offense right away, just given the conversation that had been had so far. But I mean, Frost talked about it after the game. You know, guys, you have to win one-on-one battles. You know, wide receivers need to step up and you know, win their routes, win their individual matchups. And you've seen that obviously from Stanley Morgan and from J.D. Spielman, but you haven't consistently seen that from everybody else. So I think that's kind of where they want to see, you know, a little bit of improvement there. And offensively, I mean, with the skill position, you know, talent that you have there, if those guys can do those little things to get open, you see a lot more explosive plays, and some of these games maybe not as close as they have been with the big play potential of this offense.
Thor Tripp, KTV Sports. Well, give me your take on Martinez. I mean, what do you think happens? I mean, I got to think the fact that he's practicing is a sign, is a great sign, but nevertheless, Frost is kind of playing things close to the vest.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me. If it was, you know, it's hard because I don't know the extent of the injury. Like, first off, like, let's, you know, yeah. I thought that it would be like a 3 to 4 week MCL sprain kind of situation where you're out 3 to 4 weeks probably. But obviously it's not that serious. If he was able to move around the way he was in warmups, I think he surprised Coach Frost. I think he surprised himself maybe a little bit. And so the fact that he's back in there now, I just don't want it to be a situation where it's the coaching staff getting frustrated, like, we got to win a game. Like, he gives us a chance to win the game, even if we're not running them the ball, you know, running the quarterback, you know, read run game, you know, 10 times. Maybe it's once or twice to try to limit the damage. I just think that, you know, they've talked a lot about, like, the long term.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I just worry that you go to Michigan and you play him and he gets hurt and now you got bunched the rest of the season versus you give him another week or so and maybe you lose at Michigan, but then you've got – your guy a little bit more healthy maybe the rest of the year. So that, for me, you know, I hate to say worst case scenario, but worst case scenario, obviously he goes and gets hurt and then,
yeah,
you know, you've got
a
bunch of the rest of the
hurt.
Season.
Right.
And I think that it's more understandable maybe to explain to yourself or rationalize after the fact if you sit him another week and then, you know, maybe he gets hurt the next week anyway, which is possible. But I just, you know, it's hard because if you know the extent of the injury, that's really the only way you can make an accurate assessment of what to do. And obviously, the coaching staff has shown that they care about the players, you know, on a repeated basis so far with the way they've handled everything from the Tristan Jebby situation to the way that, you know, they've had confidence in Adrian to start game one. So
right.
I think that they know what's best for their players. They're going to do what's best for the players. But from a purely speculative thing, if he's not 100%, I would hold off. It doesn't seem like they're going to, so hopefully that indicates that he's pretty close to 100% or at least close enough that he can protect himself, you know, and not be at risk, you know, long-term with anything being out there.
I don't even know how to frame asking you what you think is going to happen this weekend because of what we're talking about. You know, it's like, well, it obviously makes a huge difference whether or not Martinez is playing. Then also there's the Michigan side of it. It's like, okay, has Michigan figured some things out or have they played just two bad teams? You know, like you don't know that side of it either. Like, do you have, I guess, what do you think happens this week and understanding all the different variables?
I know. It's funny because I do think I like Shea Patterson a lot at quarterback. I think he's a good, talented kid. I don't love the route combinations and passing attack always at Michigan. I think that they have some questionable, you know, they don't always have like the most, you know, now this is like the old school, like high school quarterback in me coming out, but I don't love their route combos.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of worries me about their passing attack, which, you know, is obviously good news for Nebraska. I mean, last week they had their first wide receiver touchdown catch in what, like 3 years?
It's crazy.
So
right?
The fact that People Jones had three touchdowns is a different, is, you know, it's a different outlook for them. But I do think that, you know, sometimes their passing attack isn't what you want it to be. And I do think Nebraska can stop the run fairly well against those guys. If, you know, maybe you can limit the big play, then you're in pretty good shape against them. So, you know, the 18-point line, I think, I think it's tough, man. I mean, if Adrian Martinez plays, do you feel good about Nebraska being within 17? Like, I do.
Totally.
If he doesn't play, then probably, you know, that's going to be harder to justify given the fact that you've lost at home to
right.
Colorado and Troy, and you're going to say, okay, we're going to be in striking distance of the Big House. So,
right, right.
I think that the question is just as much like, how confident do you feel about Michigan being good as it is Nebraska being good?
Yeah. Before I let you run, hey, pretty exciting. Lost in the shuffle this weekend of the disappointment with the Troy loss. Chris Hickman from Burke committed to Nebraska,
yeah.
And so now you get the two Burke stars coming to Nebraska. I mean, you get to see this guy play a lot more than other guys do. I mean, what do you think of? We've talked about Henrik, but what about Hickman? What do you think of Hickman?
Yeah, I mean, he's fantastic. I mean, it's just he's one of those guys that I did not expect Nebraska to get both of those guys.
Right.
And I think Hickman was probably the least likely in my eyes to go to Nebraska just based on, you know, the number of offers that he had when and where they were. And, you know, I mean, Henrich and Hickman, neither one of them have, you know, really direct ties here. They both essentially both families moved here. So that's interesting to me that both picked Nebraska. And I think that says a lot about the coaching staff and the connections they've made in a hurry here, which is a huge deal. But I mean, Hickman is just, you know, he's so versatile and he has so much room in his frame to add good weight and just, you know, you could see him being an all conference player as a tight end. You could see him being an all conference player defensively. You know, the other day when I was at their game last week, you know, he catches a jump ball for a touchdown pass, the first score of the game against double coverage. And then later in the game, he's playing linebacker about 3 yards deep, and the opposing quarterback just tries to throw a slant. He just jumps up and picks it off and takes it back 20 yards. So, I mean, it's just the instincts and the sheer potential with him is just as enormous as his frame, and it's going to be really fun to watch him develop.
Very exciting. Very, very exciting news over the weekend. Thor Tripp, KTV Sports. Thor, great stuff as always, man. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Thor Tripp, KETV Sports. Yeah, lost in the shuffle of the frustration and the fallout from the Troy loss. Nebraska got a commitment from in-state stud Chris Hickman. He was getting recruited pretty hard by Oregon and LSU, and now that makes a pretty much a clean sweep of all the top players in the state. One of the things that Scott Frost talked about the second he got here was keeping the talent that is in Nebraska playing for the Big Red. And at least through one recruiting cycle here, that looks like that's going to happen. I mean, I think Hickman's a pretty intriguing, versatile, kind of tight end, hybrid kind of guy. You know, I think the staff is in love with Henrich, the linebacker from Burke. So that is exciting. So at least there might be some frustrating things in terms of outcomes going on with the season right now. It's good to see two in-state kids committing to the Big Red Inn. All right. About 15 minutes away from Robin Washit. We got Mitch Light still to come as well. You can email me, nick@1620zone.com. Hit me on Twitter @NickBoff. Game time.